good. Amen. Jesus is good. The Holy Ghost is good. Hallelujah. His angels that are working for you are good. Hallelujah. The devil's bad. Hallelujah. Anything bad's the devil. Amen. That's your lesson for tonight. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to look at verse 5. Let's pray and believe God for utterance tonight. Make sure what He wants done gets done. What He wants said gets said. Hallelujah. You know, when those things happen, they surprise me as much as maybe they surprise you. I honestly didn't plan on that, you know. Praise the Lord. But we just want to welcome Him. What He can do whatever He wants to do. Father, we love You and honor You and glorify You. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your goodness and Your kindness. You're so loving to us, Father. You care so much about us. And Father, we thank You that we're going from glory to glory through the preaching, teaching, and the doing of Your Word. So help us tonight, Father. Speak through me that my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I endeavor to say what You want said tonight. Father, for when I speak as the oracles of God, Lord, power will be in demonstration. Lives will be changed. Hearts will be touched. Destinies will be overturned. And Father, we'll give You the praise and we'll give You the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Last Wednesday, we talked about choices, didn't we? That the Bible says He's given you choices. Life or death. Praise God, you choose. He said, I've given you blessings, cursings, life or death. It's up to you. You pick what you want. And one of the choices that we saw last week and things that we have a part, and we saw that basically last week put a spotlight on the fact that God's not sovereign just like the puppet master up in heaven pulling all the strings. That we have a part to play in this. Amen? And our biggest part that we have to play in this is the part of faith. And that's a good choice for you to make, is the choice of faith. And you know, without taking time to look there, you know, faith is how we please God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that. Faith is how we overcome. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Faith is how we quench the devil's arrows. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Faith is how we receive from God. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. And so all those things, receiving from God, quenching the devil's arrows, pleasing God, receiving from God, overcoming, all those things are dependent or not whether we walk in faith. So we walk out of faith, and the shield of faith gets put down, overcoming gets put down, receiving from God gets put down, pleasing God gets put down. And so we need to choose faith, amen? But just like we got to make sure our faith life is healthy, because we know this, that once we enter into faith, it's easy to enter into faith, right? It's easy to start something. It's the finishing of it, right? I heard Brother Hagin say this, and you know, if you heard me on Sunday, I said this to people that got their hands laid on them. Coming up and getting your hands laid on for healing, that's the easy part. Sometimes we have instant manifestations, sometimes we don't. But Brother Hagin said this. He said if people would leave that place and instead of checking the symptoms of their body and maybe getting discouraged if it hasn't worked, is instead of saying, and when those thoughts come or these things come against you to say it's not working, your symptoms come, to say, I receive, when Pastor Mike prayed for me, the power of God went in my body for a cure, and it will manifest. But what that's called is that's called continuing. That's called enduring, amen? And what I want to see tonight, building off last week, is we know that when we enter into faith, which is easy to enter into faith, right? They just had the Boston Marathon this past Monday, and everybody that, you know, could start it. Anyone can start it, right? But only a few can finish it and get to the end. Well, we want to get to the end of what we're believing for. Why? Because at the end is the finish line or the manifestation or the victory. The health is at the end. The money's at the end. The peace is at the end. The job is at the end. The house is at the end. The car is at the end. Whatever we need and believe in God, that's at the end. And we receive by faith. We go through faith, so we got to get there. But getting there along the way, the Bible says that if we faint not, we'll get there. So He's telling you that along the road, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to faint, but we can't faint because he that endures to the end will be saved. And not just saved salvation-wise, he that endures to the end will be saved from sickness. He that will endure till the end will be saved from poverty. He that endures to the end will be saved from mental and emotional despair. All these things, praise God. And so we need to make sure that we're maintaining a healthy faith life. If faith is what's required, then we got to make sure that we are actually in faith. Well, in the natural realm, you know, God always uses natural examples or natural illustrations to illustrate spiritual truths. Our bodies have different parts, different functions to them, and people go to the doctor, and at times it's recommended to get regular checkups. And what do? They go through different things in the body. They check your weight. They check your cholesterol. They check your sugar. They do blood, and they check your blood pressure and just different things like that to just make sure and to check up to find out to make sure the body's healthy. And if they find problems, they diagnose it, right? And they give you medicine or tell you what to do with certain things. Well, it's the same thing. Our body needs to be healthy, but our faith life needs to be healthy. And the way we can go about that at times, because there's times people, they don't even know. And if they don't get things, how many stories have you heard, you know, of people not going to get checkups or something? And then all of a sudden they went and they said, man, if we could have caught this earlier. If we would have known about this earlier, if we'd have gotten to this right at the beginning or something, or boy, we're glad you came. We caught it when it was early and we can get to this, you know. Well, it's the same thing. A lot of times people going about in life thinking they're on their way to the victory, on the way to the finish line, but they're not really in faith, and faith's the only thing that gets them there. And then they don't get there and they wonder, what's going on? Why am I? And so let's just check up on ourselves tonight, amen, and see, because every one of us should be believing for something in here. Amen. Whether if it's healing, prosperity, a job, a spouse, a child, I don't know, whatever. There's lots of different things you could say I'm believing God for. Well, faith is what's going to carry you to the end of that. Not what you think is faith. Faith is going to carry you to the end of that. You might think you're healthy, but then the doctor points out and says, no, I got tests that prove that you're not healthy. You might think you're healthy and have convinced your mind that you're healthy, but the reports and things showing up in your body in the checkup are showing you're not. And so it's going to eventually show up in the wrong way. And you might think you're in faith and heading to that victory line, but then when it's revealed or pointed out by the doctor, the spiritual doctor, praise God, you say, wow, maybe some things need to be tuned up and adjusted. Well, in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, I just want to look at the beginning of this verse. It says, examine yourselves. Well, an examination, a checkup. Whether you be in the faith. Would you please pull that up in the Amplified? I'm going to read that here in the Amplified. In the beginning, it says, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Examine to see whether you are in the faith and showing the proper fruits of it. We can go back to the King James Bible. So right now I want us to put at the forefront of our mind those things that we are believing for. And if you're not believing for them, I hope this lights a fire under you to get you to start believing. Amen? That's what we were talking about last week, is these things don't automatically happen for us. It takes faith to receive. Amen. Well, we need to check up on these things. So put at the forefront of your mind that which you're believing for right now. And then let's put it under the microscope. Let's put it under, you know, the doctor gets the little flashlight thingy and shines it in your ears and puts the tongue thing, looks down your throat and shines a light down in there. Let's shine a light on ourselves through the funnel or through the test of the word and see, okay, I'm bringing that to this. I can see, you know, I'm really not in faith. I thought I was. I need to make an adjustment there, because if you're not in faith, you won't get to the end. So are you ready? Amen. We're going to go through this, not to spend a whole lot of time on any of this tonight, because it's just a checkup. And you know, when you go for a checkup, you're not there very long. You're not spending a whole lot of time on, you're just kind of going over different things. So we're going to go over different things, give you some verses, just to kind of do a faith examination, a faith checkup. And you know what's amazing about this? This stuff is so simple and basic. But what I found is this, is that the simple and the basic stuff is the stuff that we need the most. The foundational stuff, right? Everything is built up from the foundation. I remember being at a pastor's meeting with Pastor Michael and all the family church pastors, and he's preaching a sermon to us. And two things amazed me. I couldn't believe how basic the stuff that he was preaching to us. And then I couldn't believe how much I needed it. He's preaching it. And I love that, because the word is simple. In fact, beware of people that try to always come up with some brand new idea, brand new revelation, brand new spin on things. A lot of times that's just to appease their mind, to try to impress a crowd. Brother Hagin was simple. Same thing over and over, same story, same scripture, same slant on them, because it's the Word. The Word doesn't change. And so I was amazed at how simple it was, and then amazed at how much I needed it. I thought, my goodness, this is so basic, and I need this. So we need this stuff. But so are we in faith? We're examining ourselves to check up our faith life. Are we actually in faith? Because, again, I don't want to be misled in thinking I'm in faith, heading to what I think is my destination. Remember the time I told you I was supposed to go to Pitt Bradford to visit a college, and I got on 86, and you're supposed to go 86 east. But me and my friend Jill, you know, you remember Jill, the girl that I was the maid of honor for her wedding. You all remember her. We were going to go to college together. We had big dreams. We were going to go to the Super Bowl when the bill. I mean, we had it all planned out. So we were heading to Pitt Bradford to visit the college, and we were supposed to be there, I think it was 1 o'clock. Well, 1 o'clock came, and we're in Erie. Wait a minute, what happened? We went the wrong way. But here we were the whole time, excited, driving on 86. Just, oh, a new adventure, new life ahead of us, and we're going the wrong way. I don't want that to be my faith life. Here I'm thinking I'm getting closer to my destination, and I find out I'm the problem. I don't want to be the problem. If the devil's the problem, we know how to handle the devil. If it's patience, we know how to be patient. But if it's us, then we need to fix it. Amen? So here we go. Are we in faith? Well, I'll say this. You are not in faith if you are worried, anxious, or fearful about that which you're believing for. Amen? Mark chapter 4. So what are we doing? We're putting the magnifying glass, or the light. We're shining a light over our situations. And we're saying that which we're believing for. Are we anxious about it? Are we stressed about it? Are we fearful, or are we worried about it? Remember what Brother Hagin said about worry. How do you know you're worried about it if you're thinking about it? Over and over, pacing the floor, you know, stressing out about it. Because in Mark chapter 4 and verse 38, Mark 4 and verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said, Master, do you care not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you afraid? Why are you worried? Why are you stressed? Why are you anxious? How is it that you have no faith? So if you think you're going to get to your finish line being a worry wart, being in fear, being stressed, and being worried about this thing, you're fooling yourself. If it takes faith to receive, which it does, and you think you're going to get there on the vehicle of faith, and the Bible says that when you're in worry, there's no faith, you need to get a hold of that worry. Remember over there in Mark chapter 5 where Jesus, Jairus came and said, My daughter is at the point of death. And you can go back and read this story again for time's sake. We won't look at it. My daughter's at the point of death. Well, then Jesus said, I'll come and heal her. And he meets the woman with the issue of blood and deals with her. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. And then they come and said, from Jairus' home, and said, he don't need to come. She's dead. She's not alive anymore. And Jesus, you think that caught Jesus off guard? I don't. I don't think Jesus was surprised by that. He looked to Jairus, and the first thing he said was, Fear not. Don't be afraid. Do not let worry in, only believe. What's he saying? He's saying, if you want to hinder, see, he's like, I'm the vehicle right now that's going to take you to the finish line for your daughter. But if you allow worry and fear and anxiety in, it's going to cancel out the whole thing. Doesn't matter if I'm there or not. You must resist fear, worry, anxiety, and stress about things. How do you resist it? You talk to it. He did not give you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I remember a person called me from Olean. This was years ago, and they're on the list of offended people that left, that sang my praises and told me how much the church changed their life. I mean, they took me out to a restaurant one time. It was Friendly's in Olean, and they bragged to every single person that came by that they said, "This is my pastor. This life changed. You need to come to church." And now they got mad and offended and upset about things and just how it goes. But anyways, they called me one time and they said, they told me the situation. And they said, Pastor, I'm so afraid. So they said on the phone. I said, you probably should hang the phone up and call me back and start over. Because that is the wrong thing to say. You can't be afraid. You can't be worried. You can't fear not. Now see, a lot of times people say, oh, that's being incompassionate. Well, you could have looked at Jesus on the boat, and you could have looked at Jesus when Jesus said, don't be afraid. Who does he think he is? They just got word that their daughter died. But Jesus knew what he was talking about. Worry, fear, and anxiety and stress are not allowed if you want to be a faith person. They must be resisted. Amen? So I told you it won't take long, so just a quick checkup on that. That's number one. If you're worried, if you're afraid, remember the widow woman? When she said, I don't have anything. And Elijah said, go make me a meal first. What was the first thing? She said, I don't have anything. He says, go and do what you said. But the first thing he said to her is, be not afraid. Be not afraid. You cannot allow fear in. You must resist fear at the door. Do not let it get in. Amen? Hallelujah. That's number one. Number two, are you ready? Are you a complainer about the situation? And complaining about, and basically when you're complaining about the situation, you're magnifying the situation. If you're a complainer, a grumbler, a murmurer about your situation, what does it sound like? This never comes to pass. It's not going to work. I'll never get this. You talk about healing, but I'm not getting it. Talk about your problem. I don't know if you are or not, but you do. Numbers chapter 14. If you're a complainer, you're not. You know what faith people don't do? They don't complain. Amen. Now, listen, qualify these things. The devil always tries to come in. Talking to your pastor about something you're going through is not complaining, just so you know. There's a difference. Amen. Because the devil will come into people and say, man, I can never say anything. No, get your help and go forward and do the right thing. But you know what complaining is. Saying, Pastor, I'm going through this. Can you help me? That's not complaining. Why do I say that? Because the devil will tell people that's what it is. Because the devil wants to stop your help. But Numbers 14, we see what complaining looks like. Numbers 14, verse 1. And the congregation lifted their voice and cried, and people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. That's complaining. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we have died in this wilderness. So they're complaining about their situation, aren't they? Complaining about how hard it is, how much in debt we are, how little money we have, how the symptoms are this, how my kids are this, how it's going this way at my job. You're a murmurer. You're magnifying the wrong thing. And then in verse 26, it says, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Look what God calls people that complain about their situation and magnify their problem and talk about how bad their problem is and talk about how big the mountain is, how bad the money situation is, how bad the healing thing is. That's all they talk about all the time. He calls them evil. What were the children of Israel doing? Exactly what we just said. Murmuring and complaining. He calls that evil. He said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur or complain against me? When you talk about your situation and complain about your situation, you're murmuring against him. I have heard the complainings of the children of Israel which they complain against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured or complained against me. Well, they all stayed out because why? Faith takes you to the finish line. They weren't in faith. Complainers aren't in faith. Grumblers and murmurers aren't in faith. But Caleb and Joshua, they were different. They, instead of magnifying the problem and complaining about the problem, were magnifying and rejoicing about their God. There's a difference there. So are you a complainer? You always talk about how big and bad the problem is. If you are, you're not in faith. Some of you should be better just to shut your mouth. So we're just doing a checkup here. We're just checking up to make sure we're in faith. Hopefully we pass the test. Hopefully by the end of the service, not that you're prideful, say, I'm checking off of the boxes. I can't see any of those things. Because there's times you go to the doctor and you leave and there's nothing wrong. So we're not assuming something's wrong, but that's what a checkup is, to check to see. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready for number three? We're going to do six of them tonight, so we're already halfway there. Are you in condemnation? What is condemnation? Guilt against yourself. Coming against yourself all the time. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. Condemnation is a faith killer. Why? Well, look at Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Are you in condemnation? Constantly beating yourself up. Constantly. Yeah. So the natural thing would be to say, well, I'm beating myself up because of, and then you'll say, you'll fill in the blank there. Well, then my response to you would be, why don't you fix the thing that you're beating yourself up about? And not give the devil a chance to bury you. Because that thing you're beating yourself up about, if it's wrong, there's forgiveness for it. And God will wipe it away like it never happened. Amen. But are you in condemnation about your past? In condemnation about how you've done this and how you've done that? And here's the awesome thing. You know, Paul, to be a preacher of righteousness, for those of you that are unaware and just coming into learning some of these things, the writer of 2/3 of the New Testament was a murderer of Christians. And God forgave him and used him, and used him more mightily than anybody. For him to be able to do that, he had to be good at forgetting and not walking in condemnation, but walking in the light of what Jesus offered him. I'm going to tell you, for me to be able to come up here and preach to you, and even get the nerve to do that, I've had to be very good at forgetting my past. But I don't see myself in the light of my past. I see myself in the light of the Word. And until you see yourself in the light of the Word, which calls you righteous, I mean, if we talk about Mike Anderson, the man, we got a laundry list of things of why I shouldn't be here. Why I should have no right to be able to preach to people. But that's only if I see myself in the light of who I was. I see myself in the light of who He made me. You can't be in condemnation. Why? Because Hebrews 4, look at this. In verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly. He says, come to my throne in boldness. He's saying, you come here a certain way that we may obtain mercy. He said, you come to my throne boldly. And if you'll come boldly, the result will be you will obtain. But if you don't come boldly, don't expect to obtain. Why? Because boldness is faith. Condemnation, which will kill boldness, because you can't go in a presence of a perfect God with condemnation and unworthiness. Because you won't go with boldness, which is required to receive. Amen. You need to renew your mind to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, verse 17. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God. I have a belong in His presence, praise God. Are you in condemnation? If you are, it's a faith killer. We're checking up on us here today. Are you worried, fearful, stressed out, anxious? You're not in faith. Are you a complainer? You're not in faith. Are you in condemnation? You're not in faith. Now at the end of this, I'll give you the medicine, like the doctor would, if you find out and say, yeah, I got some of these symptoms. What's my pill? I'll give you the pill. Hey, man, we're gonna be passing out the spiritual pills tonight. Praise God. Are you ready to go forward? Amen. Number 4. Ooh, this is going to be a good one. But it's true. If you think you're in the vehicle on your way to your destination, on your way to your finish line, on your way to your victory, but inside that vehicle with you is grudge holding, bitterness, and unforgiveness, you're going the wrong way on the highway. You're going to make yourself late for where you need to go. And there's going to be consequences. Boy, I got quiet in here with that one. If you're bitter, holding grudges, unforgiveness, or offended, you are not in faith. This is terrible, but I don't watch this show. I need to preface that. But when you're flipping through channels, you ever see Maury Povich? You are not the Father. So today we're saying, you are not in faith. I kept thinking in my head, where have I kept hearing, you are not? And then I remembered, it was Maury. You know, they do all those paternity tests all the time. It's like, that's all they have on that show. I don't watch it. I'm telling you, I don't watch it. But you flip through the channels on you are not the father. Amen. Sorry. That's what was in my head anyways. But if you're bitter, holding grudges, offended, or in unforgiveness, you are not in faith. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. We're doing a checkup tonight. These are the things that just keep us safe and healthy. Because we want to get to the end, don't we? I mean, we want to get there. I don't want to be the reason I don't get there. Amen? I don't want to be the problem and get it to heaven and say, Lord, you promised me all this. He said, yeah, but you didn't do what I said. You didn't cooperate with me. So I'm checking up on myself here. Man, I feel like I'm going to walk out of here with about a million Band-Aids on. The way I'm going here, I mean, come on. Just try. You know, I'm just a human being like you are. I want fixed just as much as you want fixed. Galatians 5 and verse 6. Praise the Lord. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything or uncircumcision, but faith. There he is. He's magnifying faith. But faith which worketh by love. Well, the Bible says that God is love. Faith works by the God kind of love. Well, one of the demonstrations of the God kind of love was seen by Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. And does the Bible say we're to love one another as Jesus loved us, right? He forgave us. He didn't hold a grudge against us. He wasn't bitter against us. He didn't get offended against us. He stayed in love and he stayed in faith. You must resist bitterness, grudges, offense, and unforgiveness. And let me tell you something. Things will press on you and press on you to get you to step into that place. I mean, the devil will press buttons in you to get you to put down your love walk and to walk into the flesh. Whoo, man, oh man, oh man. I get amazed sometimes, you know. I'm thinking of a certain situation. You know, I remember when Pastor Nancy, I told you the story before, when her husband laid hands on me the night before about financial problems. It was years ago in Canada. And the next morning she preached a message about renewing the mind financially, and she stood in front of me for 90-some percent of that message and looked at me a lot of times. She was trying to help me, you know. But a lot of people would have absolutely gotten offended by that. Because everybody knew. I mean, I went up for hands laid on before, so she's preaching a message now to renew my mind. And there's a temptation in your flesh and in your mind to get offended. We got to refuse offense. Amen. Say, well, people wronged me. You got to refuse that unforgiveness. Why? You're faithful. You can trade it if you want to. You can choose to get into bitterness and unforgiveness, and you can choose to get into strife, and you can choose to get into grudges and all these things, but you are choosing that to forfeit your faith. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 11 real quick. Mark chapter 11. You say, well, Pastor, I am justified. I'm not saying you don't have a reason to be upset. I'm not saying you don't have a reason to your flesh to feel that way. I'm telling you the higher way. God's way is a higher way than our way. Amen. You know, people get it in their minds what they'd like to do and put them on their list and just, I'm going to just let them know I'm going to walk around with a cold shoulder with them. Okay, well, you're forfeiting your faith when you act like that. Amen. You are forfeiting your faith when you act like that. Mark chapter 11. Well, we know verse 23 and verse 24. Verse 23 says you'll have what you say. Verse 24, you'll have what you pray. So it's telling you what you can have through your faith, praise God. But verse 25 says, and, so it's connected to 24 and 23. When you stand praying, he's saying, when you are in that place of releasing your faith by saying, or releasing your faith by praying, if you have anything against anyone, you must forgive them. Anything against anyone, Jesus says, your response is forgiveness. Remember what unforgiveness, bitterness is, and grudges are? You know, because why do we do that? Because our flesh gets it, and We want to let them know we're mad. We want to get back at them. We want to give them the cold shoulder. We want them to feel the heat coming from us. Isn't that why we do it? So we ignore them and we treat them bad. We make everybody walk on eggshells around us. What is that like, ladies and gentlemen? It's like drinking a big jug of poison and expecting that person to be the recipient of the effects of that poison. That's what unforgiveness does. That's what bitterness does. It just hurts you. Doesn't do a thing to them. I mean, do you know how many people that I'm on their list? They're offended at me, mad at me, and angry. It doesn't do anything to me. I just keep living my life, and they just keep being mad and angry. I tell you, I've been offended before. I've been bitter before. It does something to you. Physically, it does something to you. It's like a feeling that grips you. You know, I've dealt with people, and again, I've told you, I've been there, so I know what it's like, that when they get like that, they become different human beings. It's like a force, but it's spiritual. And I've been there, man. I tell you, I'm so thankful to have been freed from that, because it's a horrible place to be. But here you are sitting there just, oh, and they're just living their life happy. It's making you more mad. Oh, do you want your faith to work? So are you worried? Are you complaining? Are you in condemnation? Are you bitter? I mean, we're just doing a full body checkup tonight. Amen. Are you ready to go on? Now, this is kind of combined here, number five, but are you in joy and praising and worshiping? If you're not in joy and praising and worshiping concerning what you're going through or what you're believing God for, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. A couple places I'll prove it to you. Colossians chapter 4. See, once you enter into faith by releasing your faith through saying or praying, then you've now entered into your test. You've now entered into your faith battle. Now is the time where you can get to the end or forfeit and faint and not reap. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. Watch over that prayer with what? Thanksgiving. Well, what does that look like? Let's say, well, I'll just use people on Sunday. I laid hands on some people. Maybe some of them got instant results. Maybe some haven't got any results. But that was, we released our faith. We prayed when hands were laid on them. So if you're in faith, you know what you're doing every day? You're waking up saying, Father, I thank you, I'm healed. I thank you, I've released my faith. I thank you, the money's coming. Amen. If you're not in praise, you're not in faith. If you're not in joy, you're not in faith. How do I know? James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall or enter into various tests and trials. Well, when you're in that faith trial, see, a true faith person from start to finish will go through that with joy. If you're in the car, in your test, heading towards your destination, and you're down and out, and you got the Eeyore spirit on you. He says, count it joy. He says to give thanksgiving. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not just when you feel like it. It's easy to rejoice when the money's there. It's easy to rejoice when everything's working out. If you're not in joy and you're not rejoicing and you're not praising God in that vehicle from the starting line to the ending line, you are not in faith. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. I want to show you something. Acts 16. Acts 16 in verse 25. Now, for time's sake, we're bringing it right to verse 25. This is after Paul and Silas, ministers of God, were beaten, stripped naked, and thrown into prison for doing God's work. They're in a bad place. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Well, that's a good thing. Look to God. But you know what I found is people can pray till God's ears fall off. And a lot of times people pray from a foundation or a place of unbelief because they want to get their words out, but they want to get their words out because they're just so fearful and anxious. They just want God to hear what they're going through. They're not really praying from a place of faith. And we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. But your prayer isn't complete until it's sealed with praise. Because he said, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. They prayed, which was their request, and when they praised, it was them showing God, I believe I got it. They praised God for it because they said, thank you, Lord, we got what we prayed for. You can pray, but then if it's not followed up with praise until it shows up, you're not in faith. Because why? Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. Because worship and praise is the voice of faith. You say you're in faith, but your face doesn't show it. The way you're walking around doesn't show it. Your lack of praise and worship sure isn't showing it that you're in faith. Amen. Abraham was strengthened or made strong in his faith when he gave glory to God. Every single day, ladies and gentlemen, you should make it a point to whatever you're believing God for, to praise Him for it. To thank Him for it. Every time a thought comes against it, Father, I thank You. Brother Hagin said this. He said, that the Lord told them that if people would praise me more, it would show up faster. Brother Hagin tells a story about a minister. I've heard Pastor Nancy tell it too, a minister who had a vision. And in the vision, it was a scale. And one of the sides of the scale was weighted down, and the other side of the scale was up in the air because it didn't have the weights on it. And the one side of the scale, this minister was believing for healing. And wondering, why isn't it coming? Why isn't it coming? What do I need to do? I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And they were shown a vision. They sought God on it. When you feel like you know you're doing everything you need to know to do, and you not get an answer, seek God on it. He'll give you an answer. Well, that's what this minister did. Gave an answer. And on that scale, the weighted down part was labeled prayer. And in the air part was labeled praise. And the Lord said, when your praise equals your praying, the manifestation will come. When your praise equals your praying, because everybody can pray and just, oh Lord, I'm going through this, oh Lord, I'm going through that. But praise shows, I believe I got it. Praise is a signal or a stamp or the seal that, yep, I believe it. I don't see it, but Father, I thank you it's mine. I thank you it's mine. You wake up the next day, the symptoms are still there. Father, I thank you for my healing. I thank you for the money, Father. You are showing and proving that you are in faith. And by the way, he shows up in our praises. And then the Bible says in verse 25, Acts 16:25, midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. It didn't happen when they prayed alone. It's when they prayed and sang praises to God. It's when the chains fell off. Praise the Lord. So are you worried? Are you in fear? Are you stressed? Are you complaining? Are you in condemnation? Are you bitter? Holding grudges? Offended? And unforgiveness? Are you lack of joy? Lack of praise and worship? You're not in faith. And last but not least, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. Kind of goes along with praising, because when you praise, you are saying it, but just... We can say it without being in a manner of praise, I guess. So 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith. That word spirit in the Greek there means vital, like a vital sign. Well, when you go to the doctors in a checkup, like what we're talking about, they'll take your vital signs. Well, what does the vital signs do? They prove that there's life. Your pulse is a vital sign, right? It proves that Mike Anderson's alive. I got a heartbeat. I got a pulse. Well, he said there's vital signs of faith. One of the vital signs of faith is, according as it is written, I believed. Faith is of belief. and therefore I have spoken. You are not in faith if you're not confessing for your destination. Are you confessing? Mark 11:23 says, you'll have what you say. By your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue is like a bit, and the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. What you say is where you'll go. So if you're not saying anything, you're not going anywhere. If you're saying the wrong thing, you're going in the wrong way. If you're saying the right thing, you're creating life and you're heading in the right direction. Are you confessing? What does that look like? Every day, every single day I confess things. I have them on my iPad here somewhere, but I've memorized them from saying them so much that I just go about my business praying and confess things and say things that I'm believing for myself, for the church, for your lives, for the plan of God, the kingdom of God, different things. Are you confessing what you believe? Are you calling those things in? Well, I don't know. I don't know if you are. If you're not, you're not going anywhere. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. What are we doing? We're just checking up on our faith. Just a quick checkup. These are things the Spirit of God pointed out to me. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast or hold tight to the confession or profession of our faith without wavering, for he that is faithful is promised. What's he saying? He's saying, yeah, day one, confess it, but hold on to it so you still have that confession day two. And then when day 10 shows up, keep holding on to that thing and keep saying it. Why? Because the more you say it, the more you'll have it. Your words, if you'll start to think of your words like a bit and like the rudder, like James 3 tells us, it's a steering mechanism or a guide. It's a life or death producer. You'll understand why you must keep saying it. Hallelujah. I wasn't planning on there, but this verse came up in my heart. Go to Isaiah 55, and then I'm going to show you. If you can say, Pastor, I can see this checkup was good for me. I've been a bad, bad patient. Of course, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. Nobody's bad in here. Amen. Isaiah 55, in verse 10, about confessing. What are we confessing? We're confessing His word, what we believe. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. So we're talking about rain and snow. Well, what's it do? It comes down from heaven. It doesn't return there. But what's it do? It waters the earth. And it makes, when it waters the earth, it makes it to bring forth and bud. So it makes the earth change by what? Bringing forth and budding. Why? So that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he's saying when the rain comes down, it hits the ground, it changes the ground, causes the ground to change for the better, that ends up being a blessing to people. Why did he give us that lesson? Meteorology 101. No, that's not what God's trying to teach us here. Remember, he uses natural examples to illustrate spiritual truths. He says in verse 11, so shall my word. So now he's comparing his word to the rain and the snow. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Well, it's not his mouth anymore, it's our mouth. We're the body of Christ, it comes out of our mouth. It shall not return unto me, just the same way the rain doesn't go back up, but it shall accomplish that which I please, or what? Water. And it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. So when the word goes forth, the word is like the rain going out. When you speak to your checkbook or your finances, it's like watering. Now see, the reason you're struggling is because your checkbook's dried up. And you're speaking to that thing, and it's like watering it. And if you'll keep speaking to it, you're watering it. It's going to cause it to change, bring forth and bud to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He's saying, my word is like what the rain does. So if the word doesn't go forth, there's no watering. That's why we have to speak to our bodies, speak to our children, speak to our situations, speak at our jobs, speak over our businesses. Why? It needs watering. Amen. The word causes it to change. See, if you start to think of it like this, it doesn't become a religious. One thing I say when I get ready to confess at times, because the thought will come in, oh, this is just religious, just doing this. And just to give the devil a black eye, say, Father, this is how you have set this up. You have told me to say it, to have it. You've told me to water these things. Faith, yes, it's repetitive, but so is eating. And I've not got bored of that yet. Eating is so repetitive. I love it. Anybody else with me? Am I the only one? Anybody else a lover of eating? I love eating. Praise the Lord, I love it. It's fun. I enjoy it. And I enjoy saying the repetitive things about faith because I know I've had my mind renewed to it. If your mind's not renewed to it, you'll think, oh, just some religious exercise. No. I know that when I'm saying it, it's like water going out and hitting my finances and changing things. You know, when the rain comes down, a lot of times we don't see any change, but we know it's working. And then all of a sudden, boop, there's flowers. All of a sudden, wow, did you see how tall the corn is? So it'll happen in your life. You'll keep at it. You'll keep at it. All right, well, let's close with this. Romans 10 and verse 17. Say, I'm not in faith. I'm a worrier. I'm a complainer. I'm in condemnation. I'm bitter. I hope some of you aren't 6 for 6 tonight. But if you are, there's help for you. Amen. Right? I mean, this is the, again, don't go telling people you're 6 for 6 tonight. You don't want, this is a night we want to strike out all 6 times. But if you didn't strike out, that's okay. That's what there's help for. Again, this is just a simple message, but it'll keep you safe. Romans 10, 17. If we could say, okay, I thought I was on my journey in the faith car, but I found out faith's nowhere to be found. How do we get faith into the situation? So then faith, there it is, cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's simple, ladies and gentlemen. I love how God has made it so simple. If you're worried and anxious and fearful, if you're a complainer and talking about your problem, magnifying your problem, if you're in condemnation, if you're bitter and holding grudges and having trouble with offense and unforgiveness, if you're not a praiser and you don't realize how important praise is, and if you don't realize the importance of confessing the word, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word. If worry is your problem, get word on worry and hear it over and over and over again, and faith will come in and worry will be driven out. If you're in condemnation, get what the word says on condemnation and hear it because it's a principle. If you'll hear it over and over, faith will show up. It has to. It's a spiritual law. If you're in condemnation, in complaining, you're bitter, get word on those things and listen to it over and over and over again until faith shows up and those things get driven out. Get the word on. I mean, we've preached whole sermons on the power of praise and the importance of praise. Listen to it over and over and over again. Amen. If you say, I don't confess, so I don't know how to say anything. I don't understand that words business. Well, we've talked about how many messages on words. Get it over and over. All these things are signs or a checkup to find out whether we're healthy in our faith. I want to be healthy in my faith. Well, you got your answer tonight. This is your medicine if you're struggling in these areas. Amen? Well, we're done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We praise you and magnify you and glorify you. Father, you're so faithful to help us, to show us, to guide us. And Father, I thank you for the simplicity of the word. Father, these are the things that keep people out of their best life ever. And Lord, I was just joking, you know, if we were 6 for 6 tonight, so what? You can fix them all. We thank you the word has the power to fix them all. But Lord, we need to fix these things because it's the things we're doing wrong that are hurting us. It's not the areas we're getting A pluses in that's messing us up. It's our job to make sure we're in faith and to guard our faith. And so, Father, thank you for this faith checkup tonight, Lord. We bless you and praise you. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if I could ask everybody in this room to close their eyes, I want to ask an important question tonight. Ask yourself this in your mind right now. Do I want to go to heaven someday? Everybody ask yourself that question in your head. Do I want to go to heaven someday? When I ask myself that, the obvious answer is yes, I do. But I don't know, wouldn't know how to get there unless somebody showed it to me. I've not seen it on a map, and I've not seen a place where you can buy a ticket for heaven. Even though I've heard about how great it is and how wonderful it is. But the Bible tells us how to get to heaven. He tells us that Jesus is our ticket. Jesus is our answer. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you said, or you're listening by live stream, say, yeah, I want to go to heaven someday. I'm going to tell you how to do it, how to get there. There's two ways to get to heaven. Well, there's one way to get to heaven, it's Jesus, but there's two qualifications to get there. Number one, you must believe that Jesus died on the cross and that he is real and that he rose again from the dead. That's the first thing. Now, if you could say, Pastor, I do believe in Jesus. I don't understand everything, but I believe there Jesus was real. I believe I've heard about him. I believe that he was real. Then that's number one. But the second thing you have to do is you have to ask him to come into your heart. You have to ask him to come into your life. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Everybody close their eyes, please. Close your eyes. If you could say, I want to go to heaven, but I've never asked Jesus into my heart. Well, I'm going to give you a chance. If you're here tonight and you've never done that before. Now, if you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. But if you've never asked Jesus into your heart and you want to go to heaven someday, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to go to heaven, would you just lift your hand up in the air and I'll have you put it right back down. Nobody's looking around. Anybody at all? I see those hands. You can put them down. Thank you for your boldness. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's a free gift, by the way. You're not committing to this church or anything. So we had a couple hands raised. And if there's anybody by live stream, say, I want to go to heaven. It's that simple. Jesus made it that simple. So I'm going to tell you, for those that raised their hands and those that are listening, there's one thing left that you have to do, and that's to confess that you believe in Jesus and ask him into your heart. Now, you're not going to do that on your own. I won't embarrass you or have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you raised your hand or if you're listening by live stream and you want to get involved with this prayer, repeat this prayer after me along with everybody in the church. So if you raised your hand, say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I thank you that I get to go to heaven someday. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. It's that easy. Now the next step for everyone in here, prayed that or not, prayed that for the first time, is plant in a Bible-teaching church. Find out all the awesome things that God has for you as he's your daddy. Amen. Praise God. He's got good things for you. He loves you. Let's praise him before we go tonight. Lord, you've made it that simple. Religion would scoff at that and balk at that and say it can't be that easy. But it is. It is because you're that good and you're that merciful. We love you tonight. Father, help every single person here tonight. Lord, nobody walk out here. I don't care if you're 6 for 6. You say, my goodness, I was beat up tonight in this service. I have a lot to work on. So what? God wants to help you. He loves you. He wants to get you there. So, Father, we thank you for our help tonight. We praise you. We thank you for that healing anointing. Now, if you were in need of healing earlier, and that healing anointing was here, and you received that, you walk out of here saying, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus. I don't care if the symptoms get worse. Say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I believe I receive. And that's what Brother Hagin was saying. He said, if I could get people to leave and keep confessing it and keep believing it, they'd receive it. So, Father, we glorify and magnify you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love and appreciate all of you. We'll see you Sunday at 10. You're dismissed. When you're halfway to nowhere, and you can't pay the toll, you're hanging on the mercy, withered on the vine. With your feet on the ground, your head in the clouds, and your heart on the line. Open up your eyes. You got to rise up, rise up. When this life has got you down, you got to look up. Yeah.
You can whine and cry, turn in prayer requests, call the counseling line. But that's not the prescription for success in life. Do what Jesus did and things will turn out right. You gotta answer the problem, answer the lack, answer the symptoms when they try to attack. When things talk to you, it's time to talk right back. It's amazing what'll happen when you open your mouth and you answer it. They were on the path, it was breakfast time, when across the field they saw a sign. The master came, there was no food to eat, so he opened up his mouth and he talked to a tree. Symptoms when they try to attack. When things talk to you, it's time to talk right back. It's amazing what'll happen when you open your mouth. You've got to answer the problem, answer the lack, answer the symptoms when they try to attack. When things talk to you, it's time to talk right back. It's amazing what'll happen when you open your mouth. Said to have the God kind of faith, the kind that tells mountains they can move away. When problems come up, say what you believe. It's no time to get quiet, it's not time to retreat. You gotta answer the problem, answer the lack, answer the symptoms when they try to attack. When things talk to you, it's time to talk right back. It's amazing what'll happen. It's amazing.